what I preached last Sunday, this Sunday, because I don't care what our name is, nor what we practice in regard to the ordinance of baptism. Our authority and base for it needs to be the Bible. And here's what I'm preaching on. I'm just going to preach on a series. I said, some of these people, they have no idea. They come to church here. What does this church believe? You know, I see this church is called the Round Church, or the Mosaic Church, or the Church of the Blue Angels, or something, you know. And I think, what kind of church is that? What do they believe? I'm scared to go into a church. I don't want to go into a church under false pretenses. So I want to make sure that you know, if you come to this church, this is what this church believes, this is what this church preaches and teaches, and this is what this church practices. Amen? You see, a lot of people don't know it. They think, well, you know, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Methodist. They think we're kissing cousins. I want to tell you something. You are not nearly theologically, if you are a born-again Baptist, you are not nearly as close to the Methodist faith as you are to the Lutheran faith. A lot of people don't know that. The Lutherans and Baptists are much more kin in their beliefs than the Lutheran and Methodist. Now, we could go on and on and on for that, but I just think it's important that somebody know what they believe. I think it's a shame to have beliefs and say, well, I don't know what we believe about that. So this morning, I want to preach about Baptist and the Bible. This is a Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not running from it. They say, well, you know, nowadays people don't want to have a title attached. Fine. But let's make sure that we're under no false pretense. I've seen Baptist church called community church. Now, what in the world is a community church? I've heard of the community chest. But what's a community church? You say, well, I go to one. God bless you. I'm glad you do. Do you know what you believe? You say, well, I go online. Let me tell y'all. I want to tell y'all something good about online. I learned last night all by myself to send my sermon outline to David without anybody's help, and it went through. Now, that's pretty good for an old man that's tried and failed. But I did. Now, the real thing is, can I do it the second time? I don't know. Here's hoping. You see, Brett was with us last night, and I had him in the background. I thought, if I don't get this thing, I'm calling Brett and say, Brett, we've got to get this thing done. But I did it all by myself. So if you look up here, he got the title right because I got it right. What do we as Baptists, and we should have put we, I forgot that. What do we as Baptists believe about the Bible? See, you may leave here today and say, I'm never going back to that church because I don't agree with what they are teaching people about the Bible. But when I think of that great old chorus, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. Nothing else on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. So today I want to talk to you about the Bible. Now, I don't know, I noticed that I sent it a little bit incorrect. I want to look at the scriptures on the screen to see if they're in the right order in which I had them. You didn't put the text? Okay, text. That's right. On my copy, I did it wrong. You might want to turn there in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. We're going to have three scriptures that we're going to lay as our foundation as to what we believe. If you'd asked the average person today, what do Baptists believe? And here's what they'd say. They believe you can't dance and you can't drink beer. Well, I want to tell you, we go far beyond that. We believe something about the Holy Scriptures or the Holy Bible. Beginning in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Even, here's the Word of God. What does it do? Just what he was talking about. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. My word, this is God speaking to Isaiah, and he said, my word goeth forth from my mouth. So when we talk about the Bible, what we're talking about is, this is the God-spoken book and the God-breathed book. Because Isaiah 55:10, he says, this word cometh forth not from some man, but from God Almighty. So what we have in the Scriptures is God speaking to us. Now, let's read on. Let's look there at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. What's our authority? The Bible. Somebody says to me, well, preacher, this is what I think. Who cares? Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? I'll tell you what I do care about. What does God think, and what does God say, and what does God care? All right, here's what it says in 2 Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, far, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, since you were a child, your parents have taken the Word of God, and in that case, it was the Old Testament, and they have taught you the holy things of God from the Bible. All right, let's keep going. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. This book and the words that are in it can teach you how to be saved from sin and saved for eternity. This book can tell you how to get your sins forgiven. All Scripture, all. Paul writing to Timothy, he says all, the whole thing. From the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. Sometimes we joke and say, and even the concordance. But all Scripture, what's in this book, is given by inspiration from God. You say, which God? There's only one God. There are a lot of false gods, but there's only one God. There is no war in the heavens other than that attacks that the evil one would make upon God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Now that ought to turn you on. Because Americans like profitability. Everybody wants to make a profit. See, our banker friend, he wants to make sure the bank makes a profit. And so it says, all Scripture is given for inspiration by God, and it is profitable for reproof. That means to prove over to you from God's point of view. For correction. This book ought to be that which corrects you when you are on course or off course. If you're going down the right path, this book will be like somebody saying, sick 'em. He's like somebody saying, go. But likewise, this book, when we're on the wrong road, will come to our mind, and all of a sudden we'll say, you know, I know what God's Word says. The problem is not what God's Word says, but am I willing to do what God's Word says? So it is to reproof us. It's to correct us and to instruct us in righteousness. We have a holy and a righteous God who created us that he might have fellowship with us, but he cannot fellowship with us when we are less than right with God. That's what it says. Now, look in 2 Peter 5:21. I think I've got that somewhere. I don't think I do. Yeah, I do. Moreover, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that they may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is no catalog sent from Chicago.
We have made it known unto you the power of God and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For we have received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were in the Holy Mount, when Jesus, John, and Peter, James and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Moses and Elijah. They saw Jesus in his radiant glory in the heavens on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, we heard God. God speaks. Now, God usually speaks through his word. Now, sometimes God speaks silently to us, but that does not make it scripture. So we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the dark star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, no prophecy is given for private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book is a God-breathed book. God used men, but they were holy men of God. God used men, but they were men in whom the Spirit of God dwelt, and He guided their thoughts and their words to give to us what we know this Bible to be, the infallible Word of God. Now, there are many translations. We do not have a copy of the original Scriptures, but we do have portions of the Scripture that go back as far as 90 A.D. We have pieces of the Book of John that are held in the British Museum. So, it's important that we understand and know that if we're going to believe something, what's the basis of our belief? I don't care if your granddaddy was a preacher. It doesn't matter if he does not have high regard for the Scriptures. Do me a favor, it'll help me. Put up your cell phones. Turn them off. Would you do that? All right, if you're looking at the Bible, I forget about that. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. My wife's even got one, but she got one of those big ones so she can see, you know. But anyway, thank you. And I pardon you, and I ask you to forgive me. I didn't even think about that. So please forgive me. I'm sorry. Harold Fickett was pastor of the Tremont Temple Baptist Church in Boston, Massachusetts. And he told an interesting story about a telephone call he received from a distressed mother in Houston, Texas. She was in agony, because her son, who was a senior at MIT, had told her that he had renounced Christianity. What troubled her was he had been raised in the Sunday school. He had gone to church. She couldn't understand how this had happened. And she said, "Sir, would you please go to see my boy?" Harold Fickett made a dinner date with that boy. They began to converse. The pastor asked him about his past, and he testified to the fact that he had attended church and Sunday school and church activities all of his life into his youth. But he said, in the midst of it all, "I never learned the church doctrines." We're learning a doctrine today, the doctrine of the Bible. He said either the leaders, the pastors, the teachers, or whoever was responsible but do something with it. You know, when you do wrong, God really whips you, doesn't he? Who in the world would call me at this hour? The devil. I think it did say from hell. But anyway, he said, "I never learned." Then he said this, "You can talk to me as long as you desire, But I am not now, nor will I ever be interested again in Christianity. Now the tragedy is, that story is a familiar story. The average church member, said Dorothy Sayre, is about as well equipped to do battle on fundamentals concerning Christianity with a Marxian atheist or Wellesian agnostic as a boy with a pea shooter facing a fanfare of machine guns. We're not equipped. We're not able. And so when we not only can't deal with the agnostic professors, we can't even deal with the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons that come to our door. Because all we can say is, well, Mama said it was in the Bible. We got to know what really is the Bible. So I want you to know this morning, we're not arguing about denominations. This is not a nickel, dime, and quarter deal. This is not Presbyterians and Methodists and Church of God. We're talking about the Bible, and there is a battle for the Bible. Is it the Word of God, or is it a good book? There will never be complete uniformity about the interpretation of the Bible, but we're not talking about interpretation. We're talking about, is the Bible the very Word of God, and is it divinely inspired? What I want us to see, first of all, is this. I think it's just as important to know what we do believe as to know what we don't believe. So first of all, I want us to talk about what we as Baptists do not believe about the Bible. Now, we do not believe that the Bible is a book of science, though when the Bible speaks of science, you can trust the Bible. And if science has not yet caught up to what the Bible says, hold on to your hats, they will get there. But when they do, they won't make a big show about it because they don't want you to know or anybody else to know that the Bible is and that they were wrong. You see, most of the attacks upon the Bible are leveled at the teaching of Scripture concerning the origin of the universe and its inhabitants. Now, can this be resolved as intelligent people? And the answer is yes. The Bible teaches that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Without attempting to explain how or the method that God used, science continues to change its hypothesis. And maybe one day they'll get it all straight. I read an article, I think yesterday or the day before. You may have seen it. About scientific papers that have been written up in scientific journals. All of a sudden, some people had found that over 210 articles that had appeared in scientific journals were nothing more than generated computer articles. The professors and those who put it there simply fed into the computer words like creation, stars, so forth and so on. Then the computers generated a paper using those words and bringing about a paper that made some kind of nonsense. You know, can we trust science? Sometimes, but not all the time. And so you see, science doesn't stand and dictate to us what do we believe or what do we not believe about the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a science book, but I can tell you this much, it is accurate. Just if you want to jot it down, a few verses, Job 16:7. History's oldest account, Job 16:7. You know what it says? It says, the earth hangeth on nothing. Now, science had to get real old before it could ever come up with that. Isaiah 40:22 talks about the circle of the earth. Now, remember, that was before the new world was even founded.
That was during the time when they thought the earth was flat, and if you just went far enough, you'd fall off into nothingness. And scientists have finally caught up that there's such a thing as the circle of the earth, the equator. Ecclesiastes 16:7 talks about the wind circuits. You know, what do we have that dips and goes across, what do we call that thing? The jet stream. Yeah, I like the jet stream. You like the jet stream? I got on a plane to go to Orlando the other day, had a 2-hour and 15-minute flight, and we got there in 1 hour and 30 minutes. Guess what? The jet stream was blowing just right, and our jet caught up with the jet stream. The jet stream began to push us down there faster than we could ever imagine. Yet the Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1, 6, and 7. Jeremiah 33:22 talks about the numberless stars. Man, they're finding out there are stars out there that they never knew. They are numberless. Guess what? Science is catching up with the Bible. Some have said Job 38:25 gives to us some anticipation of what we know as radio or radio waves. And then Job 25:25 talks about the reflection of the moon. Now, I just thought I would throw that out because I think it's important that we know what we don't believe. We don't believe that it's a science book, though when it speaks of science, it's correct. We don't believe it's a good luck charm. Some people kind of keep it around as though somehow it's going to ward off everything evil. I don't know how many homes I've gone into, and I've seen the magazines they're reading, but I see the Bible sitting on the coffee table. Story about a little girl in whose home they had a Bible sitting up on the mantel. Finally, she inquisitively looked at her mom and said, "Mama, whose Bible is that?" And her mother said, "Why, little one, you ought to know that's God's book." The little girl looked at her mother and said, "Mama, don't you think we ought to give it back to him? Nobody ever reads it around here." Is it any wonder that someone has said the Bible is the number one, said the Bible is the unread bestseller? So the Bible is not a good luck charm you can kind of put around, and it's kind of like the blood on the doorpost when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. Let me tell you what else the Bible, it's not a spiritual Ouija board. Some people have the idea that's what it is. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to stick my finger, and then I'll get a message from God. Well, please don't turn to Matthew 25 where it said Judas cast down the silver and went out and hanged himself, because you might end up on the short end of a rope. So it's not that. It's not a fetish that we are to worship. We ought to honor it. We ought to read it. We ought to heed it. We ought to believe it. But it is not something to worship. There's only one who is worthy of our worship. Now that's what we don't believe about the Bible. But let me talk to you about what we do believe about the Bible. It is God's written revelation of Himself. I did not say, and this is where you have to be careful, especially when you go into a college classroom, they'll say, the Bible contains the Word of God. There's a difference between, that means that in there, if you can find it, after you snoop around, you'll find out something from God. Let me tell you what it is. It is the Word of God. If God has ever communicated to mankind, He communicates through the Word of God. It is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. And from the human point of view, one needs to know that the Bible was written over 1,500 years of time. There were 40 men from all walks of life, shepherds, professors, physicians, fishermen, tax collectors. Some of them were educated, some of them were not. We find in this book prose, we find in this book poetry, we find in this book prophecy. But yet in it all, regardless of where you are, it always is pointing to Jesus. B.H. Carroll said, if you don't know who B.H. Carroll was, he was Mr. Baptist all over Texas from about 1875 till he died around 1914 or 15.
founded Southwestern Seminary, pastored the First Baptist Church in Waco. Anyway, he said he's everywhere. So here's what we believe. We believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is God's holy Word. It's God's, it does not contain errors. You say, well, I know so-and-so said it was an error. Well, so-and-so hasn't read well. The Bible is inspired. Not like Mark Twain was inspired to write Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, but it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God communicates with His Spirit in our heart, and His Spirit in our heart communicated to the mind and the hand of those who wrote. And so what we have is the very Word of God. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I think our real problem is not, is it the Bible, but it's the question of, what about the inspiration of the Bible? There are two theories. One's called dynamic. This theory says the thoughts of the Bible are inspired. Now, wait a minute. What thoughts? I want to tell you, if there's a thought in the Bible, it's been inspired in total by the Spirit of God. That thought is correct. You see, the Bible says it came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, then there's the Amenuensis theory. And that's the idea that there were people who were used of God to write the very words, every word in the Bible. And I believe every word in the Bible is inspired. I believe every thought in the Bible is inspired. So I just have pulled the two together. Now, let me tell you, if it came from God, the thoughts have no error. If it came from God, the words have no error. Now, there are those who can take the English translation. Remember this, is an English translation. The Bible wasn't written in Elizabethan English. Now, we have modern translations that help us. But in its origin, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. We don't have any of those, but I want to tell you they were extremely careful as to how they copied the Scriptures. So when we come to the Scriptures, they are the last, the ultimate, the supreme, and final authority for Christians in all matters of faith and practice. Now, why do we do what we do? Because the Bible tells us to do it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A man comes into a relationship with Christ by believing on the person of Jesus and Jesus alone. The Bible is our regulation manual for experience and doctrine. Why do we do what we do? That's why I said I probably should have preached this before I talked to you about baptism, but I was trying to get the idea of what do Baptists believe, because, you see, we need to know, does the Bible back it up? Do we have authority to do what we are doing? You can believe anything you want to. That's your privilege about sodomy. But God's already spoken about sodomy. He said it's an abomination, and I don't care what politician or what learned professor has something to say. I want to tell you, let me tell you what God says. God says it is an abomination. Therefore, God did not create anybody to be that. God is good and does not create abomination upon people. Just an example. I'm not going after any group. I'm just telling you what we believe. The Bible is the instrument that the Holy Spirit has used for regenerative, being born again, and sanctifying, being made holy purposes. The Bible is the last word. I don't care when somebody gets out the pearl of great price, when the Mormons pull out the Book of Mormon, when the Christian scientists pull out Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy's Science and the Key to the Scripture, I want to tell you something. They don't stand alongside of the Bible. So that's what we believe. It is God's holy word. Now, we also believe that the Bible is inspired. It claims to be the word and message of God. 2,600 times in the Old Testament. 535 times in the New Testament. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 says this, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." When the Bible says it's the word of the Lord, if it's in the Bible, it came from God. There's one message in the Bible. It's the Jesus message. Stood the test of time. It stands even today. Shortly before World War II in London, the Earl of Dudley auctioned off his library in a bookstore. The infidel Voltaire, the French infidel Voltaire, in the 18th or in the 1700s made this statement. He said, in 100 years, the Bible would be an extinct book. In that library that was being sold, there were 92 calfskin covered books of Voltaire. In that auction, those 92 books brought $2. Also, in that auction was what we know of as one of the earliest copies of Scripture called Codex Sinaiticus. It was possessed by the Russians, and the government of Great Britain paid $500,000 for one copy. Of course, there were no more copies, but that's what they paid for it. I don't know how you put that in modern terms. I don't know what inflation does from then until now. But you get an idea of one who said the Bible's on its way out. I want to tell you, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Archaeology. Oh, what do they say? Now, they've got the answers. They're scientists. Be careful about their scientific journals. Maybe just a computer-generated writing, because they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. But archaeology confirms the Bible. Dr. Driver of Oxford University and others held that Moses could not have written any of the Scriptures because at that point in history, people did not know how to write. However, in recent days, they have found 320 clay tablets in Egypt that were written during the time of the Jewish captivity. Archaeologists have no answer to any of that. Now let me give you another reason why you can trust the Bible. This is one you ought to know. I said a while ago the Bible contains poetry. It contains, prose. But the Bible contains prophecy. Now do you know what prophecy is? Prophecy is the ability to know what's in the future now, before it takes place. Is that understandable? Anybody not understand that? Raise your hand. I'll go over it again. You understand what I just said? You don't understand. You do understand? Okay, I want to make sure it's easy to understand. No other religious book published and in the hands of anyone or any library other than the Bible contains prophecy. Did you know that? The Mormon book doesn't have prophecy in it. Science Key of the Scriptures doesn't have it. What's that book that the... the Quran doesn't have it. What else somebody say? There's no there. You know, why is there no prophecy in any of those books? Huh? Wonder why. Huh? They would prove themselves in error by putting prophecy in the Bible, because
Only God knows what's coming. And if they wrote down what they thought was coming, it would be an error, and it would do what? It would prove the error of the book. So only the Bible. So, what do we believe about the Bible? We believe that the Bible is inspired of God. Now, let's talk about this. How do we as Baptists believe the Bible should be interpreted? Well, let me tell you this. The best interpretation of the Bible is the Bible. When Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, and those two guys he was talking to, you know, and they didn't know what all had been going on in Jerusalem. And so Jesus started talking to them about what the Bible had already taught, and they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to, they couldn't believe what they were hearing. When they realized who they were talking to and he disappeared, what did they do? They went back. It is the Scriptures are to be interpreted, and the best way to interpret them is just believe what they say. You want me to give you some good words for your marriage? I read this in the Bible. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We could eliminate 75% of marital troubles if people would understand. Does that make sense? Thou shalt not commit adultery. What does that mean? Are you there? What does that mean? Y'all don't know what that means? Do I have to draw you a picture? You know what it means? Don't have sexual relationships outside of marriage. You want to clear up the problems in America? Right there. You just interpret it for what it says. Don't say, well, but you don't know my wife, or you don't know my husband, or you don't know how I was brought up, or you don't know how I was driven, and you don't know how the circumstances were. Tough stuff. Take it for what it says. What does the Bible say? All Scripture. It's talking about this. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. That's what we believe. So how do you interpret it? Read it and heed it. And that takes me to my last point. Now, when that means we just got 30 more minutes. What does it say in John 5:39? Somebody turn over there and read that to me. Somebody got it? Google it. That's what you do. Google it. John 5:39. Let me read it to you. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So you know what the Bible encourages to do? We have to read the Bible. Let me tell you something. You don't have time to read the Bible. You know how I know you don't have time to read the Bible? I'm going to make a confession to you. I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, what am I going to do? Take time. Get up earlier. Don't play on your machine. If you hadn't read the Bible, put the Bible in your computer. Instead of reading that stuff on Facebook, go over there and read it in God's book. Read it. I'm not asking you to read the whole Bible. Did you know if you just read one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day in 1 month, you'd have that dude done? If you read 5 Psalms every day for a month, you would have gone all the way through the book of Psalms. And don't start going through Ecclesiastes. Go through something else. Read it. You can read the book of 1 John in 5 days. 1 chapter a day. Read it. Don't be running through it. Just read it. I'm not interested in people reading long stuff. My mama used to tell us, boy, my mama used to read through the Bible every year, and about October or September, she'd say, man, I've already read through the Bible. It was like she was in a race. I want to tell mama, slow down and let the thing sink in. Read it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Read it. Study it. I mean, what is God trying to tell me? What do I need to know? Study the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Get a portion of it and just meditate. Just chew on it. Get a portion you don't even know. Say, I'm going to chew on this till it becomes palatable. What do we do with the Word of God? We need to teach it. Sunday school teachers, teach the Word of God. Bible study teachers, don't talk about what somebody said about it. Just say, here's what God said. Study it. Teach it. Make it accessible to all. A few weeks ago, you gave to Gideon's. We gave almost $1,000. Let's get the Word of God. The Word of God can do what we can't do. So let's give it. Let's share it. Let's have it. I try to make sure there's a Bible in every bedroom in my house. I go north, I make sure there's a Bible. I know Karen's going to show up and she needs it. So I make sure there's a Bible there so she can read it, because I want her to be a good wife, mother, and daughter-in-law, because she's got such a good father-in-law. Make it accessible. Now here's another thing. Believe it. You can't go wrong believing the Bible. The Bible says, I believe it, and that settles it. So what do? We read it. We heed it. We study it. We meditate. We teach it. We make it accessible. We believe it. Uh-oh, here comes one. Obey it. The Bible says, be ye what? Say it again. Be ye what? Doers of the Word. Now you're going to be studying Proverbs for a few weeks in your Bible study class. It has a lot of things to tell us. And what we need to do is when we read them, say, uh-oh, I blew that one. I better study it all over again. Then we ought to do this with it. We ought to use it to lead others to faith in Jesus Christ. Use it. Learn how to use your Bible. I think all Bibles ought to be read, don't you? And so I share with you that we're a people of the Bible. I'm not saying others aren't. All I know is I know something about this church and this pastor. May not be that I think it's the church's belief, but I know it's this pastor's belief. And if they're crazy enough to hire a guy who believes that and pay him, and they don't believe it, they're fools. We need to use it to lead others to faith in Christ, because that's what we're about. You know what this church is here for? To light up the darkness. To tell the story of Jesus. Think of that great old hymn. Christ receive of sinful men, even me with all my sin. You see, today in this room, there's only one group of people in here. We're all sinners. Everybody. You say, wait a minute, preacher. We're all sinners. Get it? Get it. If you didn't get that, I'm fixing to give it to you. We're all sinners. Some saved. Some lost, but we're all sinners. But guess what? That book will tell you about the Savior of sinners. His name is Jesus. And Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You want to move from the sinner side to from the sinful sinner to the saved sinner, here's what you have to do. You have to mean it and believe it and invite the Lord to come into your life, to forgive you and to save you. And guess what? Just like that, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he who's going to come from heaven in the same way will come into your heart. And the Holy Spirit, which wrote the Bible, will come in to live inside of you in order to make you righteous, so that from here to eternity you can have fellowship. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Lord, it is the rock upon which we stand. Lord, may we learn to read it and to heed it, to teach it, to obey it, or to make it accessible. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of God's Word. Pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we'll sing a song of testimony and song of invitation. Maybe you say, well, that's what I believe, and I want to be a part of a people who believe that. Why don't you come, make it known? Maybe you'll say, I've never trusted the Lord personally, but this day I want to invite Jesus to come into my heart, save me from sin. I want to be a saved sinner by the grace of God. Why don't you make that public? If God has moved for you to make a decision, we're going to sing this song. It's one of my favorites. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Let's stand and sing it together, and I wait as God calls. If He calls you, step out. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which hide. So free for me. White as there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for me. Though millions have come, still room for one. Room at the cross for you. Thank you so much, and you may be seated. I'm under the impression everybody has done what God told them to do today. We're going to go away from here rejoicing. We're going to also rejoice because God gives to us an opportunity to give. I like to give because God gave us His only begotten Son. So what we're going to do is we're going to give something back to Him. Right on there, dead retirement. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. We sit down. We got something better than an offering. Amen. This young lady has stepped forward to say, I want Jesus. I want to make an offering of my heart to Jesus. Now that ought to turn you on. That's what this church is all about. That's what it's all about. You've invited the Lord to come into your life. Is that right? You realize that He's forgiven you of every sin. Do you realize that He will never leave you and ever depart from you? Everywhere you go, He goes. That's why I need to live for Him. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, my heart is made glad. If you rejoice with me over what she's just done, would you let it be known by saying, hallelujah! Oh, that's about a halfway hallelujah. Let's show her how we really rejoice. If you rejoice over what she's done, would you let it be known by saying, hallelujah! Oh, that's wonderful. My heart is made glad. I'm going to, Martha, get on that. Get on down here. Get on down here. Got your phone turned off?
I don't have a phone.
Oh, okay, good. Don't worry. You sit down by her. I want to get all that information. Isn't that wonderful? Man alive. Somebody, let me tell you what. Somebody asked, well, how was church day? You know what you can say? Somebody got saved. You know what? That's what I want it to be every Sunday in this church. About getting people saved on the road to heaven. Amen? How many of you want to go to hell? How many of you want to go to heaven? How many want all your loved ones and friends to go to hell? How many of you want your loving friends to go to heaven? All right, then what we need to do is bring them to hear the Word, encourage them in the Word for the glory of God. Amen? All right, now we can take an offering. Get up, Robert. Who else is taking the offering today? Somebody's supposed to. There you go, Ford. Get on up here. You all know something about money. You know anything about money?
A little bit.
A little bit. Pass it around. I want everybody to have some. It's a starter, okay? Who wants to lead in prayer today?
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for
the teachings today, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to give, Father. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We ask you to bless each gift and the offering and use it, Father, to further your kingdom. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Get ready to get out of here, but I want you to know something. It thrills me, somebody that'll kind of break our routine, and to have somebody say it is a good routine to break. I was preaching a revival meeting, First Baptist Church in Groveland, Texas, a number of years ago, and right in the middle of the sermon, a man in the back, and he stood up and said, "Preacher, that's me you're talking about, and God's told me so. I need to get right with God." Anytime you want to do that, that's all right. That's all right. And I'll tell you, then revival really broke out that day. It really did. Anyway, praise the Lord. Let me make sure I've got this right here. We got Haley. Come here, Haley. Haley Elstrom. She comes today, and her grandmother's been talking with me, and she about, and I'm going to be talking to her more, about receiving the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And when I think with them, we're content that she is knowledgeable in her understanding of what it means to be a Christian, that we'll give her the opportunity to profess her faith openly and publicly through believers' baptism. But my heart is made glad, and we thank the Lord for you. I believe there was a reason not to have children's church today, don't you? Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Now you say, "Well, preacher, you didn't have to put up what I had to put up with." Well, that's all right. Next Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday, we'll be having it. But anyway, praise the Lord. Now, is Tiffany your Sunday school teacher? She is. Tiffany does about everything. Tiffany needs somebody to come in here and give Tiffany some, she's carrying a heavy load. You come stand by her, Tiffany. At the close, so where's your grandmother? There she is. Why don't you come stand by her? Y'all stand by her. After the church, you come by her and tell her how proud you are of her and how thankful you are of her, and just rejoice with them about that. Guess what? Now, here it is. You put money in the offering plate. Maybe you didn't. I hope you did. I hope you put a whole lot. But guess what? Part of what went in the offering plate bought gas today to go in a church van to go pick her up. Now, was it worth your offering? Huh? Yeah, it makes it worth it. Let's take up another one. I didn't get a second to that motion, did I? Well, bless your heart. I'm glad you're here. Did you just get here? You were outside? Did you hear my sermon? I know you're on call. She's a doctor. In case I get sick, I want her here.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt. I'm just glad you're here. Praise the Lord. She's on call. Praise the Lord for you. I was out in their home. They got a great big home, and they got a big barbecue grill, and I thought, you know, we could just about feed the whole church out here. I'd have to take an offer to pay for it, but anyway, are you glad, happy in the Lord today? Before you leave here, tell somebody you love them. Make sure somebody, don't let somebody get out of here and they say, "Well, they're not very friendly." Let me tell you what, I'll rush you back in here if you say that. Here's why. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.